Hello, everyone. We are back with another bonus episode of Oh My Word podcast. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Lynn. And she is someone who I actually met a couple years ago when we worked on a musical together. So not only is she an author, but she's also insanely vocally talented. And I didn't strong arm her into having to sing anything. Right now, I think we're just going to speak the whole interview. But I actually remember she came into audition. I don't always remember these things, but she did come into audition and she sang a song from Spamalot. She sang Whatever Happened to My Part, and it was so great. And we just cast her on the spot, even though I don't think we told her that we did. And that's important to know because we talk about musicals so much on this show also. But we're actually here to talk with Lynn about her book, Fifth Child, The Turbulent Path That Led to Parenting Our Child's Child. And she has a new book also that came out now, I Fell Into a Volcano and Other Coming-of-Age Disasters. And we're going to talk about her writing process and what her book's about. So, hello, Lynn.
Hello. How are you, Estrella?
Doing great, thank God. How are you doing?
I'm good.
We reassured Lynn that she's not going to be up on stage.
That is important.
Yeah, we said, Lynn, you can wear your bathrobe if you want for this interview. However you come as you may.
Awesome.
So let's talk. So already we can see from the title, Turbulent Path Led to Parenting Our Child's Child. How on earth did this happen? How on earth did this book come into being?
Who knows? I mean, you just don't expect. I think when I was younger and looking to get married and have children, I expected my life to look one way, and it didn't end up that way. We were great for a while, and then it didn't. I have a daughter who got into drugs, and I ended up taking care of her son, who I still have today. He's 16 now, but we were with him when he was a baby, and everything that came out of his mouth, it was like an old soul. So I just kept writing down everything that he would say to me, and we would just sit there many times with our mouths hung open with things he would say. And, one day my girlfriend looked at me and said, "You need to write a book." And I said, "I'm not a writer. There's no way this is going to happen." And she said, "No, you have to do this. Everyone has to hear what Brady has to say because he's growing up differently than other children." And that's what happened to me in my life. So I'm a grandparent raising a grandchild, and he's been with us since birth. And I sat down and I thought, I love the woman who asked me to do this, and I thought I have to respect her wishes. So I'll sit down and write. If nothing else, it'll just be a cathartic experience, and that's it. So I sat down and I started to write, and I couldn't stop. It just kept coming out of me. I mean, years and years were just flowing as to why this happened to our family. And I did a lot of investigations into addiction and grandparents raising grandchildren. And that's what happened. And then the book was done. It was more than done. I had to cut a lot out of it. So that's how it developed. But I always loved writing. I used to do one-woman shows, so I would write those or newsletters. And I worked with the elderly years ago, so I did all their newsletters and plans. And I just loved writing, but I never thought of myself as a published author. So.
Oh, wow. And here you are.
And here I am.
Well, do you think writing newsletters, because usually that's, not to take away from the time that goes into it, but usually you're dealing with much smaller pieces, and all of a sudden you're sitting down to write a book, and that's not so short. that's long. So, do you think that helped you in any way, or was it a totally brand? You had to start almost from scratch. Like, okay, how do I do this?
I think it was totally different. First of all, you're dealing with your feelings and what's happening. So I was reliving a lot of the experiences my daughter had gone through and our experiences with her over the years. Dealing with an addict is not pleasant. And that was really, I had to relive that. So it was hard on me emotionally to do it. And there were some days where I just couldn't go back to the computer. I had to just sit with it and process it and then go back. But many days I couldn't get off. I mean, I had to start putting alarms when I had to pick Brady up at different, you know, places, wherever he was at the time.
Yeah.
So,
So, like, would you, the intent for writing a book like this, was it just really just to get it out, or are you trying to connect? Because I think you once told me there's over 10 million grandparents who are raising grandchildren, or a number like that?
At the time that I wrote it, that's what I saw that it was 10 million. Somewhere else I saw 7 million grandchildren living with grandparents. A lot of that came about because of the opiate addiction that was, you know, happening in the world. But my daughter was on meth, amphetamine, and so that's why that happened. There are a lot of us. And I also worked on a website where I helped other grandparents who were raising grandchildren, giving them sources and other books to read and different ways of just supporting them on a day-to-day basis, because it's a very different life. And we were very fortunate because Brady was in our home when he was born, and so we were always here.
Right.
And my daughter left when he was just 2 years old, so he just knew us. And when he was three, he started calling us Mommy and Daddy, and to this day, it's what he says. This is, we know you. You know, this is all I know.
Right.
So, and feels very lucky. But, so I would counsel them. So when I wrote this, at first it was just to get my stuff out on a page and just to keep writing and see where it would go. But then as I was writing it, I realized how much this would help these other grandparents. And I actually worked with them. It was while I was close to the end of the book was when I came on as to help them on this website. So I really, you know, had more to share with them, and that's how it went.
Oh, that's a separate website that you were kind of freelancing for a while?
Yeah.
Oh, not your website.
It's called Grandparents, G2G, or Grandparents Raising Grandchildren. It's sponsored by the Addict's Mom. And I've also written a book for them through that called Unexpected Heroes, and that's just a compilation of stories by grandparents who are raising grandchildren and what they've gone through to get where they are. And for us, it was very easy to get temporary guardianship with Brady. It wasn't that easy, but it was easier than it was for most people because they couldn't find their addict child, and we could, and we convinced her that this was in Brady's best interest. And then later, she passed away later on. We adopted him. And so for us, it was just everything went smoothly, where for a lot of grandparents raising grandkids, it's not that smooth. The addicts are fighting them tooth and nail. They're always in their lives, putting their two cents in. It's difficult. And a lot of them were retired at the time. When it happened with us, we were in our 50s. And so we could really, my husband was still working. We had a good, he had a wonderful job. We had a good income. And a lot of these grandparents don't.
Right.
So it's tough. It's tough.
Right. I think also that you mentioned once you think you're done, right, because all the kids are out of the house and all of a sudden you're starting over. elementary school again and high school again. Why are we doing this again?
I know. And this happened to us. I mean, my daughter was a senior in college when this happened to her.
Oh.
So we're not talking like, you know, we thought this is it. We're done. This
yeah.
is great. And
yeah.
then another 10 years of dealing with her and everything else went by.
Oh.
So, and she passed when she was 32, but it wasn't from, she was sober. She was in a home, recovery home, and she was there for a year and she was sober, but because of the drug use, it compromised her circulatory system, and she got a clot that went to her lung.
Oh, man.
And so, and I wouldn't like to anyone to lose a child. It's one of the worst things in the world. But it made our life easier not to have to deal with her possibly going back into the drug world. So
that was, you found some, there was some sort of safety then, oh man.
And so you just kind of, you know, for us, we take life as it comes, and we just dealt with things, and, you know, that old saying, making lemonade out of lemons, and yeah. we just tried to do that all along. Plus, we had a child to raise, and we had to have positivity, so that was really important for us.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
So I guess, did writing the book actually help? Did that make a big difference for you to be able to process everything?
It did. It did. I could compartmentalize my life and what happened through it to Brady and somewhat to our family in our background, and if there was addiction somewhere else in the family. It just, it helped to be able to see it. And it also is something for Brady. It's kind of my legacy to him. All of his sayings, that everything he said during his life is at the head of every chapter.
Oh, so that did still make it in. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he made it in.
Yeah. And if you see, so I think you ended up self-publishing this book, or you published through Amazon?
I did. I didn't start out like that. I sent letters out to agents. I followed the protocol and
right.
what you had to, you know, send out your letters to the agents. It had to look a certain way, say a certain thing. And I got wonderful response from everyone. Very supportive, I would publish, you know, I would get you to a publisher in a minute, but you're not Oprah Winfrey. And that's what they kept saying. You're not Oprah Winfrey. You need a strong base. You need a strong following, because with memoirs or anything along those lines, they're very hard to sell enough copies of in order to make it. So it's, you know, what comes first, the apple.
Right.
The horse or the cart. So, so I wrote to them, and I love the feedback I got, because that helped me to go on. And then I looked at Amazon. I looked at different publishing companies for self-publishing, and the one that just struck me as where I could work with them easily was Amazon. So, and so my girlfriend had published a book through them. So I went through Create Space, and it was very user-friendly. And it worked out well. I hardly had to put up any money for it. And I liked the way it worked. It's just that because I was so new at this, I didn't know to tell them that the format was all off and what I could do about it. So
right.
it was a mess. And I republished it, that same book, a few years later, adding chapters and changing some things around, but and got a better cover, because that's also what I was told to do. And then I republished through them, and I was very careful and watched the formatting, and so it worked out well, and I was very happy with it.
Well, where'd you get you got a cover done through the Create Space through Amazon also, or you had to go somewhere else for the cover?
I did. Oh. I actually, I was going to have someone design one for me. I didn't want to put out a lot of money because I didn't have it at the time.
Right.
And I went through their covers, I forget what it's called, but there's a place where you can choose covers, and there was a picture that looked exactly like Brady.
Oh, man.
On the back of him, the
yeah.
back of a child. And I that was it. So
yeah.
I used that. I mean, it could have been a better cover, but I just didn't think that, you know, it was fine for me as far as I was concerned. And
Were you working on that site with the other, that you were sort of helping with the other grandparents? Were you working on that site when you started your querying the other agents, or you hadn't started working on that site yet?
No, I hadn't. After that.
Because it sounds like that would have been a base for you.
Oh, no, it was
yeah.
during that. I'm sorry. It
okay.
was. And I told them I was doing that, and that I had this many followers. And
right.
And also I was out there singing as well. So I said, I have all these people to
yeah,
my little
yeah.
concerts and yeah. blah, blah, blah. And it didn't. It wasn't enough. They
oh, wow.
It was. It's millions of people you need. I went, oh.
Yeah, not there yet. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know, they showed interest, and, you know, they're so busy, they didn't have to write back to me, but I got
yes.
a lot of really wonderful letters back, so
that, is
that
good.
Was encouraging.
Yeah. Well, have you seen...
It really was.
Not even with exact numbers, but have you seen a good response to the book, that a lot of people are picking it up?
It's okay. okay. My first book got the largest response because I was very involved with the grandparents raising grandchildren, so a lot of sales came from that.
Right.
And I've never gone out and marketed my book. I've done talks here and there where I've been invited. But I haven't done the book tour or any of those things where they say it's important to do.
It's because you didn't want to, or you don't have the time.
I wanted people to read it who needed to read it, and that seemed to be, happening. A lot of psychologists also wrote me that they were using their book in their practice.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was really cool.
Right.
And, the thing that came out of it was I wanted all of this to be here for Brady so he could someday look at it and see what happened in his life and what it was about, even though we talk to him about it all the time. It's an important thing to do. But the fact that it helped so many people was really just another blessing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And then you decided that you wrote the I Fell Into a Volcano book. So why did it... first of all, that title is hilarious. And also...
that's what I felt like. we're going through this political craziness here, the diversity in the world. And it's just... It was making me crazy to watch the news every day.
Right.
It was making me crazy. Brady became a teenager. I'm yelling at Stu. I'm yelling at him. I'm just frustrated. And I thought, I'm just going to sit down. I didn't know what to do with my angst and my feelings.
Right.
And I just sat down and I just started writing. And I said, I'm just going to write. I'm not making a book or anything. And then I started to write and I realized I wanted to say something about how did I get like this? Why am I like this? why do things that are unfair bother me more than the average Joe?
Right.
I mean, that's how I feel about it, although I'm probably not alone. But so I started to write, and then I started to go into all the things that bothered me in the world and all the things and where it came from. So a lot of the things that were in the fifth child book ended up in this book. And I want to share with you that publishing is very different now with Create Space. It's been bought out by their sister company called KDP, which is what took care of putting up the ebook.
Right,
on Amazon.
Right, the Kindle Unlimited,
So they bought them, and now it's not as... It's user-friendly completely, but you... don't have as you can't move around as much. You can't choose different fonts. You have to choose one thing. However, there's no charge. It cost me nothing to publish this book.
Oh.
Where the other books, I think, cost me a couple $100s by the time I was done.
Do they push?
Still nothing.
Right. Well, yeah. Do they push the
and
book for you at all?
The cover I designed myself on Canva.
Oh. How did you come up with a title like that? I Fell Into a Volcano. I don't know if that is that connected to.
I don't know where that came from. I was feeling it one day. I just said, I feel like I'm falling off a cliff. I feel like, I don't know, I'm falling into a volcano. And that's where it came from.
It's so great.
And that's how I had felt with most of the things that had gone on throughout my life. And this one covers a lot of my experiences with anti-Semitism when I was growing up, and also racism. I had some experiences with black friends, and I went through that, and also abuse. And of course, the addiction, and I talk about relationships, and then there's aging.
Oh dear!
That's huge. When you get to this age, it's just you're a whole different animal, and sometimes unrecognizable. So I wanted to address that too for people, baby boomers who are reading this, who would understand.
Well, do you now that you've got two books and the second one just came out of nowhere? Well, I guess the first one kind of did too. Do you think of yourself as a writer now, or are you just kind of like this person who has two books? Yeah.
When I was out talking about the books to different people, I felt like a writer.
Right.
I felt like, wow, I had something to say, and these people are all interested in it, and it's really it's gratifying. But once I stop and I'm not as involved, because I also paint and I also do the singing here and every couple years with you.
Right.
But I used to do it a lot more, and now I'm painting on the side. So it's just, I kind of do one thing or another. It's just all part of who I am and how I'm made. So.
Well, it's good.
I don't think of myself as a writer. You know, unlike you, who must, you must think of yourself as a writer.
I am a writer.
Yeah, you are. You are. You are. I just don't think of myself because I never had, you know, I didn't take courses in it. I didn't prepare for it. I just kind of learned as I went, and which is kind of how I do things anyway.
Well, did you have to hire, or did you hire an editor, or you had someone who looked through your stuff once you were done, or you were the only eyes on it, you know?
With Fifth Child, I started out, I did hire an editor for that,
right.
And for the first one, and so she helped me group a lot of my ideas better, or she would ask questions so that things, I think as you write, sometimes you think everybody else knows how you came to this idea. But she kept saying, well, why did you say this? And why did you come back to this idea? So she really helped me develop it. But she didn't edit the entire book. I just couldn't afford it. And so I had her do as many important parts as I could.
Right.
And then I kind of tried to follow her lead and do the rest. But yeah, and then on this last book, I didn't either. And my girlfriend, who has edited a lot of books, called me. She used to work, I forget his name. Anyway, she's edited a lot of books.
Okay.
She called me. She said, I just finished your book. I absolutely adore it, and I want to edit it for you. And I said, what? And I said, okay.
That works.
You charge. She said, no, it's a gift. And I said, what? She said, I've already gone through the book while I was reading it, and I did all the editing. So I'm going to call you, and we're going to go over it. So we spent a few hours together, and she did it for me. So that's it.
Wow.
I was really happy. So with KDP, you can actually resubmit your book again, and it was only out for maybe 3 days, so I resubmitted it, and got rid of the zillion semicolons that I use a lot of, and a lot of other places where I always mix up my tenses, and so she took care of that, and so it was great, but she didn't want to change the order of anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that works. You have to have good experiences with editors to believe in them, I guess, so.
I know. And I think... Maybe if I thought this would go further, I would definitely invest in an editor. But I always feel, I've always been the person where a person has to come to me for some reason, go, oh, I really believe in this. I want to do this for you. You know, I always, I don't know. That's probably my own insecurity speaking.
Nonsense. Well, actually, maybe, but it is nonsense.
I hide it well.
Yes. All right. Lynn, anything else you want to add about either of your books before we'll sign off?
I don't think so. I think I want to thank you for taking an interest and asking me to be your guest. I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, where can someone find it? Where can someone find it? Is it only on Amazon? How do they find your books?
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
They're all on Amazon.com, and they can actually look under my name. Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Gassel, G-A-S-S-E-L. And if you just put it up in the Amazon bar, it goes right to the page.
Okay, I actually tried it, so I know it works.
It didn't work?
No, it did work. I tried it. I put in only your name, and then it did. I have all your books here. I see, well, there's 4 listings, I see, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, I think I interrupted you. Was there something else that you wanted to add about either of the books?
I think I'm okay.
Not awesome.
I can't think of anything. That's really it. They come in, you know, it's not a hard copy, it's a soft cover, and it also isn't an ebook. So either way.
Oh, okay.
And so, feel free, if anyone does read it, please, you know, contact me. I'd be happy to answer any questions or help anyone that needs needs any help or support.
Well, so where can they find you if they do want to contact you? Do they find you on social media
Lynn,
or where?
My email is great. It's Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, 107 at cox.net, and that's cox.net.
Fabulous. Very good. Well, it sounds like this is something that can help a lot of people, so I hope people will talk about it.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I think definitely the baby boomers on the last book I wrote, and grandparents raising grandkids, people going through family issues, relationships. It's always interesting what happens in a family when someone's sick.
Right. Well. Well. Did you have any? Oh, not just. Did you have anybody who, from your family, that you said that you were writing the book, and they were like, "No way, you cannot, like, keep me out of it, or don't, I don't want to appear anywhere, or what are you doing?"
No, it really worked out. Everyone thought I was crazy to talk about some of the things that I talked about. They
right.
said, "Wow, you know, you don't really, you know." No, they were really great about everything, which was shocking to me. But I'm someone who, like, I put it all out there. That's just who I am. And what I learned, actually, I wanted to add that from writing these books, is that when you put yourself out there, the world opens up and you see that so many people are in the same place you are, or at least a part of it. They've experienced it or they've felt it. And that in itself is helpful to other people. And it becomes a real give and take between human beings. And to me, that really made the writing, you know, have great meaning to me and to those who wrote it, you know, who read it. So.
Right. Right. That's amazing. Yeah. Because I think everyone always feels as connected as we all are. Everyone still feels isolated in their experience. And then all of a sudden you're putting something out there that it's like, oh, other people, like there's a Venn diagram overlap of this experience.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I have family members who would never, ever share some of the things that they've experienced. And that's fine. That's who they are. But that's just not who I am. So in my life, it's helped me and it's also helped others.
That's awesome. That's the best. That's the most anyone can ask for. So that's great.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Amen.